Good evening. Well, once again, it's exciting to be in the School of Ministry on this evening. Once again, this is Catching the Waves of Revival by Apostle Jonathan David, and we're going to look at chapter number 3, The Nature of Revival Fire. Let's begin. Revival is seen as the breaking forth of heaven's fire on the earth. It breaks the effects and it breaks the influence of hell's fire on the earth. And it also establishes God's kingdom. Now, fire purifies, it reduces the size and the quantity of the material, but it increases the value. Fire extracts the worthless from the precious. Thus, it gives value and worth to it. Though it is less in quantity, it is increased in quality. Now, there are 7 essential characteristics related to fire, which can be applied to this coming revival, or shall I say, the revival that we're presently in and will be in until the Lord Jesus Christ returns. Number one, there is a need for fire. Needed fire is a purposeful fire. We must know the purpose for wanting the fire so that our motives and our calling down revival is purged and peeled. Now notice there's a need for revival fire. You know, I'm a Kojic boy, so I came up in the Kojic church, and there was always a emphasis on receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And now that I've been in ministry for over 27 years, I understand the purpose of the infilling of the Holy Spirit. But there's an aspect of the Holy Spirit when it comes to the outpouring that the church have not yet tapped into. You remember John the Baptist and Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 3, where John said, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But there cometh one after me, whose shoes I'm not worthy to unloose." Now listen what John says. "He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." Not just the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, but "I will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." Then again, we can go to Acts chapter number 2. You know, in Acts chapter number 2, we have the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all of the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues." Watch this now. "And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. And it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Now, did you see it? Did you notice in both of those passages that John the Baptist said the Lord Jesus Christ is the baptizer? He would baptize us with the Holy Ghost, not just with the evidence of speaking in tongues, but also with a mighty fire, a mighty burning fire. Well, what is the purpose of that fire? To cause us to decrease and to cause him to increase. That is the purpose of revival fire, to cut us back and to cause him to increase. Remember, all of him, none of me. That's where we're headed. Go ahead. We need to know why God would be sending the fire. Why would God be sending the fire our way? The divine purpose should be our primary focus, so that God's purpose and God's plan will be established. The intensity of our longing for revival increases because of the revelation of our helplessness and our need. Number two. Now, not only do we have a need for fire, but we also have a need for what? A fire starter. God is an arsonist. He sets fire to hearts that are ready for him. When we allow God to ignite us, then the spiritual timing is now. You caught that? The spiritual timing of God is always now. I love it. That's why Hebrews 11:1 say, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. I love that now. You know, never on wait, no other way. Yeah, we had to wait for the Holy Spirit before he was given, but now that he's given, there's no need to wait. We serve the God of the now. Go ahead, daughter. Revival does not originate with us, but revival originates with God and from God, who is the all-consuming fire. God's overwhelming passion is to heal the church, to touch and to transform her, and to break through every barrier that the enemy and men have set up or established. That's what God want to do. Break down every barrier, every roadblock. Watch this. That the enemy have set up, and even man. But it's something you must understand. Roadblocks of the enemy and man cannot be moved out of the way except somebody get a peek behind the curtain. What do you mean a peek behind the curtain? The purpose of the Holy Spirit is to escort us into the spirit world, into the spirit realm, to cause us to understand that we don't war against flesh and blood. Our issues is not with flesh and blood, but we war against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Are you listening? So, if we're going to fight an unseen force, we got to be able to peek behind the curtain. And the only one that can cause us to do that is God, the Holy Spirit. Go ahead. God initiates a revival. Revival fire is God's answer to hell's unholy fire. Now, you've heard that. You fight fire with fire. You fight snake bite with snake venom. Is that right? Well, whether you believe it or not, it's so. You fight fire with fire. I believe that the Holy Ghost fire is greater than hell's fire on the earth. And once again, we're not training you to be afraid of Satan. We're not training you to be afraid of hell. We are training you so that you will understand that the very gates of hell, the very fire from hell, cannot prevail against us because we have a fire burning in us, an all-consuming fire that will burn up the enemy. Go ahead. The revival fire, if is often sparked off in our time of communion and fellowship with him who? Not only with God the Father, not only with God the Son, but with God, the Holy Ghost. Now, remember when Jesus walked in the earth realm, the Bible says, in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form. Jesus was, in fact, Emmanuel, God with us. Today we're in the dispensation of Holy Spirit. Not God with us, but God in us. And that's where we have to understand about going to the next level. That next level, next realm, that fire is in us. Go ahead. When revival fire does not originate from God, that fire results in futility, and it brings up on us God's judgment. Now notice this, starting an unholy fire had drastic consequences on King Saul's life. His kingdom was taken from him and it was given to King David. Number three. All right, there's a need for ignitable materials. To gather divine momentum, ignitable materials are needed. God works on the life of the church to become a vessel that he can put flames on, and if I may say, flames from within. God wants us to become responsive to his touch and to his spirit. God's word and God's spirit, they must so highly excite us, and his seal consumes us. We must be consumed by our passion for God and become increasingly overwhelmed by our consciousness that he's in us and he wants to move through us. See, God can't do this apart from man. God didn't choose angels to preach the gospel. He chooses ignitable material, man. We are God's ignitable material. Go ahead. We must not put anything, object, or excuses in the way that will stop us from becoming, notice that term, an ignitable vessel. We must give ourselves completely to God. And this will allow his fire to gain momentum in us. Number four, there's a need for the revival fire to spread. Revival fire has the ability to spread. When a fire does not catch on, it will soon die out. Now, you know, I'm a master barbecuer. Go ahead on and laugh. Y'all know y'all won't laugh. I'm a master barbecuer. You know you want to laugh out there. You say, how you know? Because I'm a master chef. And one of the things we work with is coal. Now, you know, if you're cheap, you go buy Kingsford coal, then you buy the lighter fluid, then you put it in a heap and you put, you know, the lighter fluid on it. You're wasting time. Get you some match light. That's why you should believe in money coming. But you see, when you get match light and you take that little match and you throw it on there, it will consume those coals. But here's the thing. The heat from one coal will ignite the other coal, will ignite the other coal, will ignite the other coal. You see, we must be like coal. We not only must be on fire, but we must seek to ignite the other coals that are parallel with us, in front us, behind us, under us, and over us. I hope you saw it. Go ahead. For the revival to gain momentum, it must spread sideways. Our task at hand is to find other ignitable material to pass the fire on to. We must not become self-indulgent with the fire, but we must desire it to spread farther than us. See, that's why I have a problem with denominations. See, the church is hindered because of denominational teaching. Any child of God that reads the Bible and just read the Bible, you don't need much interpretation when the Bible says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Then you go to Acts 2:38. Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, Jews who are here, unto your children who are here, and to as many as that are afar off. That covered both Jew and Gentile. See, the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, is not for Pentecostals. It's for God's children. Jesus trained 12 apostles. Listen what Jesus said. Jesus said, do not depart from Jerusalem until you be endued with the same power from on high that I'm packing. See, the works that I do shall you do also, because I go to my Father. The purpose of me going to my Father is so that I can send back to you the one who's anointed me to carry out my Father's agenda, my Father's mission in the earth realm. I submit unto you as a child of God. You cannot effectively accomplish God's purpose, God's plan, and God's agenda for your life without being baptized or filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, I know you're born of God. I know that you're born of the Spirit, but that's one realm. To be born of the Spirit is a well of water, but to be filled with the Spirit is a river of water. You remember St. John chapter number 7, in that last day, that great day of the feast, when Jesus told those Jews, he said, if you believe on me, as the scripture had said, he said, out of your belly would flow rivers of living waters. This spake he of the Holy Ghost, which was not yet given. But see, that was when Jesus was walking the face of the earth. The Holy Spirit was not yet given. But when he ascended up on high and led captivity captive, not only did he give gifts unto men, he sent back to us the most precious gift of all. He sent another of the same sort, of the same kind that he is. He sent another comforter, and that another comforter, another of the same sort or kind, is in fact God, the Holy Spirit. So we're without excuse. We have the Holy Ghost within, a mighty burning fire within, and we also have the privilege of having the Holy Ghost upon. Go ahead, child. When the fire spreads to other lives, churches and cities, it becomes uncontrollable, and it will not be easy for the enemy or wicked men to destroy. I'm here to say they can't do it. You can't put the fire out. It's a supernatural fire. It's an all-consuming fire. It is designed to burn up everything in its path and in its pathway. Go ahead, child. Those on whom the revival fire falls, they are responsible to maintain the fire, and they are responsible for increasing its momentum, and they are responsible for spreading the revival fire as far as possible. We must seek God's face to find ways to spread and to propagate the revival. Number 5, a need to be watched. The revival fire must be watched. An unwatched fire is an unmarked fire. Leaders in this coming revival need to see that the fire is not misused and not abused. The church needs to be taught on how to flow, notice that, flow with the Spirit of God. See, the Holy Spirit needs lateral movement. The Holy Spirit needs to be able to tell us which way to go. Now, you are all children. You're in school of ministry. I'm sure you heard of that great family called the Winans family. And of course, you know, I don't want to be critical, and I'm not saying this to criticize them or to diminish their effectiveness in their ministry to the body of Christ. But I'll never forget this one song that they ministered. It say, wherever I go, please let the Spirit follow me. Now, I don't know about you, but last I checked, the Bible says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. See, now, they may have an explanation. I don't know. But in all of my teachings, God is the one who instructs us. We are the ones that follow. Go ahead. We need to watch the fire so that the fire will not die down, but the fire will spread widely. We need to watch the fire to make sure that it is fulfilling the eternal, notice this, eternal purposes of God. See, it's only God's purposes and plans that we should be concerned about. See, oftentimes man have plans. Man have agendas. And that's why whole cities are filled with churches on every corner. But the power of God cannot move. Why? Because of man's plans and his agendas. Go ahead. We must direct the fire until the fire hits the bullseye of the purpose and the plans of God. Number six, a need to ensure individual fire. In revival, the whole community is on fire. Everybody is moving. Notice that. Everybody is moving in the what? Same direction. What does that mean? In order for us to move in the same direction, we must be following that one and self-same Holy Spirit. You see, division, die, vision. Division comes because there's not one agenda, not one purpose, not one plan. When we follow God's purpose, God's plan, and God's agenda, and watch this, and speak the same thing. See, division comes because one group is saying that, another group is saying that, and another group is saying that. So the church oftentimes is divided. Why? Division. Why is there so much division in the body of Christ? Here's the answer. A lack of apostolic government and leadership. We have prophets. Yeah, you heard me. Prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers out here conducting ministry without apostolic covering. Don't get upset with Dr. Walker. He didn't write the Bible. He just read it. In case you don't understand, Jesus took 12 men. All of them were apostles and trained them to do apostolic ministry in the earth realm that he put in them. All of the other gifts that would come into manifestation as the Lord Jesus Christ was building his church, which is his body, with the gifts that he gave to the church and that God set in the church without connection properly to the apostle, we will not accomplish God's agenda in the earth realm because there will not be that one gift that's opening up the portals of heaven and causing us to flow in the direction that God wants us to flow. Remember, the church is built upon the foundation of apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Everyone is drawn into the same flow of God's anointing. When the corporate anointing is increasing in a meeting, it is necessary to make sure that everyone is responding to the Holy Spirit. There is absolutely no substitute for apostolic teaching and apostolic ministry. Keep reading. We must be sensitive to lead each individual deeper into God and into the supernatural. I submit unto you that cannot happen without apostolic government, without having that father. See, an apostolic father is designed to bring the little boy and the little girl out of us. Are you listening? The Bible says, except you become as a little child. See, when you learn to submit, submitting to apostolic covering is not weakness, it's strength. When we know who we are and we understand that all of these gifts, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher, they make up the one Lord Jesus Christ, who stood in all fivefold ministry offices. Yes, he did. Read your Bible. I don't have time to go through all of the scripture to teach it to you. But he stood in all fivefold ministry offices. And the Bible says when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Goes on to say, and he gave some, not all, some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come into the unity of the faith and unto the knowledge of the Son of God, unto the measure of the fullness of the stature in Christ. Without all fivefold ministry offices working hand in hand, we're gonna stay unstuck. Why be in first gear when you can march in all five? Just food for thought. Go ahead, daughter. When God releases the physical manifestations of the Holy Spirit, we need to lead them deeper into his purposes. When each individual fire is burning strong, it adds to the intensity of the corporate anointing. Number 7, a need to activate the fire. A revival fire needs materials that acts as a catalyst that can activate the fire, until that fire becomes an engulfing flame. The book of Acts records the catalyst as being men who moved by the Spirit. Revivalists are carriers of the revival fire. They're God's chosen instruments to help propagate the revival fire, to gain momentum. They enlarge the flames by their prophetic preaching and ministry of signs, wonders, and miracles. Some ministries can fan the flames of the revival fire into greater intensity. God explodes on the scene of humanity through the lives of these men who are God's revivalists. Signs, wonders, and miracles are powerfully demonstrated. We have that responsibility to lead these revival flames into the field of the harvest of souls. Chapter number four. Chapter number four, catching the next wave of revival. If the move of the Holy Spirit comes in waves, then we must move ourselves into proper position. Seven important aspects the surfer considers before he catches the wave to surf. Number one, a surfer must swim into the deep to catch the wave. We cannot catch the wave while trying to swim in shallow water. We cannot catch the revival waves by living safely. And we must press deeper into the sea. Number two, a surfer must know where the waves are going to break. Prophetic insight of where the Holy Spirit is going to give us our breakthrough is important. We must know the ways and workings of the Holy Spirit. Prophetic insight and revelation helps us to chart our course. Experiences with the Holy Spirit will help us in knowing where the Spirit will break next. We must stay with the Holy Spirit cycle, and we must watch. Notice that, his movements. Number three, a surfer must position himself to catch the big wave. Many can discern that the Holy Spirit is moving, but they do very little to position themselves properly. The spiritual continuance principle states that we need to know and to submit if we're going to be in position to catch the new move. We need to be fully alert when in position. We should keep ourselves and our timing with the waves. We need to know if we need to increase or decrease the speed of our surfing to approach the coming wave. We need to be spiritually alert and keep in timing with the divine momentum of the Spirit. Now, it's important for me to say this right here. I'm a Koji boy. I've been around a while. One of the things that if you've been in church any length of time, it amazes me how there are churches you could go to 20 years later and they still in the same spot, still saying and teaching the same old thing. No growth, no movement, no revelation. And yet we're wondering what's going on. What's going on? We're not going on to perfection. Many churches live in the elementary principles of the doctrines of Christ. But the Bible in the book of Hebrews chapter 6, number 1 say, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptisms, The doctrine of laying on of hands, all of that. God said, that's elementary. It's time to grow up. Go ahead. Number four. A surfer must swim towards the direction of the coming wave. To swim towards the oncoming wave is to swim against the religious tide. It is physically strenuous to swim against all of the religion and tradition that's in the church. It takes a lot of spiritual energy to move towards the oncoming. What are you talking about? Not getting stuck in denominationalism, not getting stuck in religious traditions. That's why a lot of people are not filled with the Holy Ghost. That's why we don't see the power of God in manifestation, because most people want to camp out with the babyhood state of Christianity, the milk of the word versus the meat of the word. Milk is for babes. Meat is for those who have grown up and who have, by reason, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Go ahead, ma'am. We must keep focus up on the bigger waves, the distractions of the undercurrents, and poses a danger to our timing and catching the coming waves. We must strive towards the oncoming waves without settling under pressure to the smaller waves. Number five, a surfer must know the difference between a small wave and the big one that he's trying to catch. We must resist the temptation of catching the smaller waves. Patience is required to ride the biggest and the best wave. We must make sure we are giving ourselves to the project that God has called us to do. God allows us to ride on the smaller waves of the Spirit so that we would be skilled and trained enough to catch the big wave. Number six, a surfer must not hesitate to move with the new wave that breaks before him. Many waves have passed by those who may have been hesitant. We must obey and implement that which is important unto us so that we can move with the wave. The Lord does not do anything without man. God's sovereignty and man's responsibility has always been coupled in the manifestation of signs, wonders, and miracles. More of Christ will manifest after a continual yielding of God's people to the workings of the Holy Spirit. We may earnestly desire to see the new wave of the Spirit, but we may be offended by the package in which it arrived. Money come and arrive in a package that the world wasn't ready for. See, the church got to get rid of all of this skin tone. Yeah, you heard me, skin tone. God chooses the man. A man doesn't have a choice in the package that God wrapped him in, but he has a choice to obey God. I'm so glad that God sent us Apostle Leroy Thompson Sr. I followed his spiritual father, granddad, the Reverend Kenneth E. Hagin, the prophet. That's who trained him. I heard him. Many people said they couldn't follow him because he was a country Caucasian fella. Well, I didn't care if he was Caucasian or Blaucasian. You call it what you want. I heard the Spirit of God coming out of him. And I see that same spirit upon my spiritual father. I know that I'm following the right man. But to many, his skin color blocks them out from receiving the true apostolic ministry that's in him. All right? Okay. Good night.